Today, though, in this gospel, we have our Lord appearing to his disciples Easter Sunday evening. So he rose Sunday morning, and then he's appearing to them Easter Sunday evening, and they're locked in that upper room because they're scared. They haven't seen Christ yet. They've heard these reports from those women who in their eyes may not be reliable. Some crazy women came and told us that Jesus is risen from the dead. I remember our Lord appeared to them first, and they've heard some reports. They haven't seen him yet. He shows up, and this is one of the cool things about the resurrection. We don't know much about what a resurrected body will look like. We know that it's a real body, it's a physical body, but it's able to do things like walk through locked doors, walk through walls. And so Christ just appears in their midst in his resurrected body and says, "Peace be with you." And they're pretty scared. He says it again, "Peace be with you." And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." I send you. The very word apostle means one who is sent out. He's saying, "I send you." And then, right after that, listen to what happens. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained.'" The reason why today is called Divine Mercy Sunday is because it's in this gospel today that we see Christ instituting the sacrament of confession. And this is why on Divine Mercy Sunday, the tradition is that you go to confession, especially if you haven't been in a long time. It's a great chance to come back to the sacrament. Because Christ is instituting here the sacrament of confession, and let me explain how. Now, Christ institutes the sacraments in a few different places throughout Scripture. We wouldn't look at just one instance and say, well, that's the only time he's instituting confession. No, we would also say that he instituted confession before he suffered and died, when he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, instituting kind of the papacy as well, but had given him the keys to the kingdom and said, "Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Same things going on here. He says, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained." So let me ask you, would Christ have given such a powerful gift to those 11, well, 10, Thomas wasn't there, and of course Judas had deserted our Lord earlier, those 10 apostles, would Christ have given such a great gift to those 10 people with the intention that the gift just kind of die out when those 10 die out? No. Doesn't make sense. Why would Christ have given such a great gift, the gift of forgiving sins? Why would he have given it to them with the intention that, okay, well, these 10 have that power, but then once they're dead, you're screwed? Right? No, that doesn't make sense. Christ's intention was that this great gift would be passed on, and we see that it's passed on in the sacred act of ordination. One of the things the bishop would pray when he lays his hands on you when a man is ordained, he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Same thing right out of the scripture passage today. But why else is he instituting the sacrament of confession? He tells the apostles, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained." How are the apostles supposed to know whose sins to forgive and whose sins to retain unless you go to them and tell them your sins? Implicit in this great gift is that we would go to one of the apostles or their successors, the bishops and priests who have received that same gift passed down from right here. How do I know what sins to forgive and what sins to retain unless you come and you tell me those sins, right? So implicit in this is the notion of what's called auricular confession. Auricular meaning like that I'm going to hear your sins and forgive them. Now, confession's taken on a few different forms in the history of the church. You should be so lucky that it is the way it is now. Back in the early church, it was quite public. You came up in front of the whole church, and the bishop would be sitting in his throne, and the whole community would be there, and you would spout out your sins to everyone. Thank God we don't do that anymore. But it was the same notion that the apostle or the successor to the apostle needs to know what those sins are in order to forgive them and what sins, you know, so that they can forgive and retain. Now, you might ask, well, is the apostle's job then to just arbitrarily decide, well, I like you, I'll forgive your sins. I don't like you so much, you kind of annoy me, I'm not going to forgive your sins. No. God wants us to show mercy. God wants us to forgive sin. So it's not a matter of just picking and choosing. It's a matter of, I need to know is something really a sin? Let me give you two extremes. Sometimes people will come to me and they'll tell me something that's not actually a sin. And I have to tell them, I can't forgive that because it's not actually a sin. Oh, well, Father, I feel so bad for it. Well, okay, fine. Maybe that's something we need to work on. Maybe there's some other reason why you feel bad for it and you shouldn't. But it's not a sin, so I can't forgive it. So that's one extreme. Another extreme, someone comes and they say, well, I did this, this, and this. That last one, I'm really not very sorry for. You know, the church says it's a sin, but I don't think it's a sin. Well, then I can't forgive that then. It's not a matter of me judging. It's a matter of if you're not sorry, God can't operate. In order for God to operate through me in the sacrament, you have to be sorry. So again, implicit in this command, who sins you forgive are forgiven, who sins you retain are retained, is not that I'm supposed to just decide who I like and who I don't like. It's that I need to hear it, I need to provide a certain amount of counsel, and then exercise the act of forgiveness through the sacred absolution, right? That prayer of absolution. And I encourage you, if you haven't been to confession, go. I was confession earlier today. I try to go every 2 weeks at the most. Just if you haven't been, go. It's a wonderful gift. And let me say one more thing about confession. You know, I had mentioned earlier that in the early church, you went and you came and you stood before the entire community. People say, well, why do we do that? Or perhaps a better question, why don't we do that anymore? Well, think about it. When you sin, when I sin, we offend God, yes. We always offend God. Even those sins that other people never find out about, we offend God. But even those same sins that other people never find out about, offend each other. If I commit some sin in my head, you know, as Christ says, if you not just commit adultery, but you look at a woman with lust, you've committed that sin. If I look at a woman with lust, I don't act on it, just think about it and really entertain that thought. I've committed a sin in my head that you will never find out about. But that sin has hurt you because I have brought sin into the body of Christ, because I'm a member of the body of Christ by virtue of my baptism. So are all of you. And just as a body is connected, when I introduce sin into the body, it hurts the rest of the body. Think of it this way. If I have a vial of poison and I inject it into your finger, it's still going to get to the rest of your body and it's going to hurt you. So no matter where you are on the body of Christ, when we sin, it brings that sin into the entire body. So even those sins that no one else ever finds out about still hurt each other. And that's why in confession, in the early church, you were asking the successor of the apostle for forgiveness, but you were asking the entire community. You were saying, guys, I've hurt you by sinning. Even those sins that you've never found out about, I've hurt you by doing that. So when we go to confession to a priest, in the new form of doing it, without going up in front of the entire community, the priest is standing in the place of Jesus Christ, yes, but he's also standing in the place of the whole community. Because what's the other option? The other option is before you go to the successor of the apostles and ask for forgiveness, you go door to door and ask every single Christian on the face of this earth for forgiveness. Because you haven't just offended God, you've offended every single Christian on the face of this earth. And the church says, okay, that's impossible. So you confess to a priest. The priest stands in the place of God, yes, but he's also standing in the place of the entire community. And when I forgive, I'm saying, God is forgiving you, but in the name of the entire Christian community, I am forgiving you. Because you've hurt God, but you've also hurt the entire Christian community. That's why we confess to a priest. That's why I, as a priest, confess to a priest. Because when I sin, I hurt everyone. I hurt the entire Christian community. I hurt my relationship with God, but I hurt everyone else as well. So let's rejoice today in the gift of this great sacrament. And the whole feast of Divine Mercy was a feast that soon-to-be Saint John Paul II instituted. It was during his reign as Supreme Pontiff that he instituted this feast on the octave day of Easter, this day that we always hear this particular passage, Christ instituting the sacrament of confession. Let's be not like Thomas, who was doubting, as Christ says, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Let's believe in the power that Christ has given to those apostles that they have passed on for 2,000 years. Let's believe in that, that when you come to confess to me or to any other priest, yeah, we are weak sinners just like everyone else. We are messed up just like everyone else. But to have that faith that this person, although a human being like me, although a sinner and messed up like me, has that power that has traced all the way back 2,000 years to that locked upper room, have that power to forgive sin. Let's have that faith. Let's exercise that faith and make sure we get to confession.